Merry Christmas. Happy Boxing Day. In liturgical circles, we call this National Associate Pastors Sunday. So, welcome. We continue to pray for our associate pastor, for Brother Nick, and for his family as they continue to recover. They're doing well, but unable to be here this morning. But we miss them, and I am so honored and so happy and so excited that Ben Cogbill said yes when I asked if he would preach today. Let's give him a warm welcome. So I'm Hammett Evans, and I'm the senior pastor here. I'm technically on vacation, but I'm so glad to be here today and glad to be with you. Welcome to those of you who are joining us online as well. If you're joining us online, there's a QR code that you can scan to sign in. That same QR code is on the back of our bulletin today, and you can just hold your camera on your device over that, and it'll ask you to go to a link, and you can fill out your information there. So I invite you to register your attendance by doing that. Not a whole lot going on. Most of our regular activities and events are kind of on pause through the holiday season, and we'll resume the week of January 9th-ish. But we do have Stone Soup this afternoon. We'll meet over at Quapaw Quarter at 1:30. Anyone and everyone is welcome to come for that and participate in our annual Christmas Stone Soup mission. Next Sunday, I believe we're going to begin the new year with an old service that goes back to John Wesley himself. We'll do a service of covenant renewal as we share the sacrament of Holy Communion as well. And so I invite you to come and start your new year off right in worship next Sunday. We'll go back to both services with Sunday school in between and all of that as well. And then on January 9th, we begin a new series called Revision. And it'll be a great opportunity for us to kind of reflect on where we are as a church family and where we are as individual Christians as we commit ourselves and look ahead to the future. So I invite you to come for that as well. I'm so glad that you are here today. Merry Christmas. It's only the third day of Christmas, amen? So there's still, how many are left? Is that 9? Is 12 minus 3 9? Is that right? Yeah? I still remember some of my third grade math. But anyway, so glad you're here. Merry Christmas and welcome. And now I'd like to invite our lay leader, Clark Cogbill, to lead us in our call to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. Praise the Lord, all the earth, from the highest heights to the deepest depths. Let everything sing and shout praise to the Creator. Praise the Lord, all the heavens and starry hosts. All throughout the universe, may praise to God abound. Come, let us joyfully praise God. Let us live our praise in deeds of loving kindness. Amen. Let us pray. God, who walks with each one of us, help us to place our trust in your guiding care for us as we gather to learn the great lessons of living in peaceful community with each other. Prepare us to be witnesses of your love and forgiveness. Make us ready to work for you and your creation. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, your beloved Son. Amen.
Thank you, Clark. As we continue in worship, as we were planning the service today, I said to Diane, I said, what do you think about just doing a bunch of carols by request? Are y'all okay with that? Do you have favorite carols and stuff like that? If you'll pull out your hymnal, they end on page 251, which is Go Tell It on the Mountain. The carols begin on 217 with Away in a Manger. And so anything from 217 to 251 is fair game. If somebody calls out something else, I understand that Diana probably can play it. We can also play Stump Diana, that which would be a lot of fun today. Who has a carol they'd like to sing? All right, number 251. Let's do Go Tell It on the Mountain. Do the first verse and a refrain. right. Who was looking during the, while we were singing? Who was looking one up? Yes, Miss Amber. 219. I saw some hands a second ago that, yes, Jane. 246, Joy to the World. Let's do the first verse. Do any of the children have a request? Yes, Hannah, from the front row. 234? 234. Yes, sir, Nathan. 240, Hark the Herald. That, you know, this is the Methodist Christmas Carol. This is Charles Wesley, and you couldn't even have a Charlie Brown Christmas without it. Amen. So. The original title of that was Hark the Welkin something or another, and I'm so glad whoever came along and changed it, amen, because I don't know what a welkin is. any one more? 250. Oh, that's great. Yeah, we haven't sung that one at all. Thank you. Now would be typically the time when we would share God's tithes and our offerings. And we will. There are ways to do that, even in the midst of all of our protocols. There is an offering basket back at the in the narthex where you'll exit today. If you have cash offerings or checks, you can still give to the Advent offering as well. There are special envelopes on every other pew if you would like to give to that special offering. We have three ways to give at Asbury. You can text to give. You can do online giving, and you can also mail a check to the church. All of those options, if you want to find out more about those, you can scan the QR code on the back of your bulletin. That same QR code is available for our online viewers as well. It is not too late to give in 2021. We know we have a lot of folks who like to give a special gift at the end of the year. If you plan to do that, Cheryl asks you to do that by December 31st at 3 p.m. And so we want to encourage you to do that so that your gift can be credited to 2021. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you because we know that everything that we have and everything that we are is a gift of your gracious, abundant, and merciful love for us. And so we thank you, and we pray that you will bless our gifts so that they may be used for the building of your kingdom here in Little Rock and far beyond. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And this sleeping child you're holding is the great
Let us pray. God, we do thank you for being with us today and for being with us in Christ Jesus, whose birth we continue to celebrate during this season of Christmas. God, we lift up the concerns of the world before you. We know that in the midst of our celebration, there is still so much pain and heartache and sadness. There's still war. There is still conflict. And so, God, we pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on us as a globe, as a global community. Remind us that we are all one human family. We are all your children, worthy of your love and your grace and your compassion and mercy. Help us to see one another as brothers and sisters. Lord, we also lift up our church, our local congregation, as well as the Christian community throughout the world. We pray for those who are suffering because of their faith. We pray for those who are suffering because of lack of faith. And we pray for the grace that we need to be faithful Christians as well. God, we also lift up those who need your grace and your presence and your healing the most. And those who are ill or in special need, and those who are grieving. In our own church family, we lift up Clifford Smith, June Glazier, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Patty Shoemaker, our neighbor Mrs. Franklin, Noah Logan, Megan Arnold, Lanny Langley, Sean McNerlin, and the Shimmer family. And we also lift up the family of Archbishop Desmond Tutu in his death. We give you thanks for his witness and for his ministry that reminds us that unjust systems cannot stand if they stand against the principles of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Diana and I love to pick music for these services, but I kind of like it when they get to pick it. People love to sing what they pick.
Heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place, for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah, hallelujah. Star shone bright up in the east. To Bethlehem the wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and gold and myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, indeed. Over the last 3 days, I've heard the Caleb and Diana combo 4 different times, and each time was amazing. Let's give them a round of applause. Our music has been such a blessing during this holiday season. We now invite all the children to come down for a visit with Mr. Greg.
Well, good morning, everyone. Did everybody have a Merry Christmas? You did? Didn't you get some new toys? Yeah, you got new toys? Yeah, yeah. How about new clothes? Yeah, you got new clothes? Well, you know, one of the first things we have to decide on for Christmas is what we're going to wear. Now, Christmas Eve, did anybody have any cool pajamas? Yeah, cool pajamas over here. Cool nightgown. Yeah, just went pajamas. Yeah, what can we say? If you got ready yesterday to go to your relatives or anything, did you pick out something special to wear? You know, something special to take pictures with, yeah. And did you just get the right thought on what you were going to wear? Well, even if it was just a t-shirt, you wore it because you liked it. You know, the clothes we wear, say a whole lot about us. A nice dress, a Spider-Man t-shirt, yeah, favorite football logo. You like to think, I look good. Because, you know, you just like it. And you like what other people see and all. But have you ever thought about what other people see just besides your clothes? The best thing to do, I think, in this case, is go to our Bibles. You know, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Colossians, teaches us a lot. And we're going to go to Colossians. We're going to go to Colossians 3. And get this open. We're going to go through verses 12 through verses 17. Listen to what the Lord says about how we need to wear our clothes. You are God's chosen people. You are holy and dearly loved. So put on tender mercy and kindness as if they were your clothes. Don't be proud. Be gentle and patient. Put up with one another. Forgive one another if you're holding something against someone. Forgive just as the Lord forgives you. And over all these things, put on love. Love holds them all together perfectly as if they were one. Let the peace that gave Christ rule in your hearts. As parts of one body, you were appointed to live in peace and be thankful. Let the message about Christ live among you as a rich treasure. Teach and correct each other wisely. Teach one another by singing psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God and with thanks in your hearts. Do everything you say or do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Always give thanks to God the Father through Christ. So those things are things that we wear, that people see. Can we all pray together? Put on love this week because God loved you and gave you His Son. Go and humbly serve someone. Because God loves you, go and forgive someone who has hurt you. Because God loves you, go and be thankful for what you have. Because God loves you, go and do good things. Wear God like your finest clothes, because others need to see God by what you do and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gregg, for that fantastic children's message. Good morning, Asbury. My name is Ben Cogbill, and I'm the interim director of communications here right now, but I'm also going to be giving our sermon today. Now, Brother Nick was going to be giving our sermon today, and it was actually over the same scripture, so he's watching online right now, so I think what we ought to do is next time he preaches, he can do the original sermon, and then you can all vote on which one you like better. But the scripture is the same one that Mr. Gregg read for the kids, but I'm going to read it one more time just because I want it to stick, so just bear with me. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spirits, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this year, I took a higher level English class. I'm in my sophomore year of college, and one of the books we had to read was Moby Dick. And I'm sorry to, if anyone in here is an English teacher or has a particular fondness for this book, but I can't say that I would recommend it or suggest it. It is long, challenging, frustrating, and sometimes it's just straight up boring. And I think it kind of reminded me of Mount Everest in that it's long, challenging, and frustrating, and at the end of the day, what you get out of it is that you can say that you did it. But I want to give you a quick summary of a little part of it. There's no spoilers in case you really do want to undertake this task and read the book. I'm going to tell you about a little part of it. So the main character of Moby Dick is Ishmael, and he's a young man who he has a spirit of adventure, and he's looking for something more in life. He's not satisfied with where he is, and so he embarks on a whaling voyage to satisfy his spirit of adventure. And these whaling voyages would be sometimes 3 years long, and they would spend about the whole time out at sea. So he goes off to a whaling town on the island of Manhattan to try to get hired on a ship. And he ends up meeting a man there named Quepawek, whose name I could not pronounce when we first started reading. This man is of Indonesian descent, but he's consistently hired by the Cape Cod whalers because he is one of the best harpooners in the world. And Ishmael strikes up a friendship with this man, Quepawek. Quepawek kind of embodies the spirit of adventure that Ishmael is searching for. Now, Ishmael is fascinated with Quepawek's religious practices. He practices some kind of native religion, and he obsesses over them. And in one particular chapter, Herman Melville devotes the entire chapter to a description of this elaborate ceremony that Quepawek performs with this wooden idol. And Ishmael doesn't know what to make of this, and he spends most of the chapter trying to figure out why Quepawek would be doing this. It makes no sense to him. And there's a part of the chapter when he reached the end of his rope, and he stops trying to understand, because he comes from the Presbyterian faith, so he doesn't understand what Quepawek is doing with this wooden idol. And this quote that he said after watching Quepawek perform this ritual, it stuck with me all year, ever since we read it. And at the end of the year, our teacher, for one of our final assignments, asked us to bring a quote to class that we remembered. And this is the one, it stuck with me through the whole semester. This is what Ishmael says. He says, "I cherish the greatest respect towards everyone's religious obligations, never mind how comical, and could not find it in my heart to undervalue even a congregation of ants worshiping a toadstool. Quepawek thought he knew what he was about, I suppose. He seemed to be content, and there let him rest. All our arguing would not avail. Let him be, I say, and heaven have mercy on us all, Presbyterians and pagans alike, for we are all somehow dreadfully cracked about the head and sadly need mending." Now, the scripture lesson today is from Colossians, and it's supposed to be aimed at helping churches solve their problems and heal divisions. And Paul lists a lot of things and specific practices throughout this book. If you read the whole thing, it does get very specific at times, but I think through anything, this quote from Moby Dick reminds me a lot of what Paul is trying to say with the scripture. No one is better than anyone else. And no matter what we think, we are all desperately in need of mending. And when I look at the church today and the world around us, it can certainly seem like every single one of us is just cracked about the head. And I want you to keep this quote in mind as I continue to discuss what I think is kind of Paul's starter pack to healing divisions and forming a good church community. Now, Colossians was written as a letter. If you don't know, it was written as a letter to an ancient church in a town that I do not know how to pronounce. But I think it's important to understand context because it helps us better understand how we can apply it to our own lives and to our own Christian community. And I did a little bit of reading about this church that Paul was writing to. And what struck me was just the wide variety of Christian beliefs. I mean, we think that Christianity is complicated today. Back then, it was a whole different story. Even that early in the game, you know, just 100 years, 200 years after Jesus. And many of the groups were so distant and separate from each other that they wouldn't even consider themselves, like one group wouldn't think the other group was Christian. But they were all practicing what we would call Christianity today. I mean, they were all Christians. But it's important to understand that this community that Paul was writing to is one that was racked and filled with division. So we know we can take it to heart. But I do feel like Paul spends a lot of time writing about how the community can overcome many of the divisions, prosper in the future, and go on to make many more disciples, which is what we're all trying to do as Christians today. Most of the passage is about how to succeed internally as a church and solve these issues. And like Mr. Gregg said, the first verse talks about clothing yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I was thinking about all these traits when I was writing this sermon, and I was thinking, you know, what do they have in common? How could I link them together so it'll stick? But I think the thing that came to mind is just thinking about how undervalued these traits are. I mean, I can't remember the last time that I heard someone revealed for being humble, you know? Even the most successful and wealthy people in our society lack, oftentimes they lack humility. And I think the others are also deeply undervalued, but I could spend a whole sermon talking about that. But what I believe is most important to take away from this, the fact that these traits are undervalued, is that it's another reminder that as Christians, we are called to be different, and we're called to be set apart. And if we go out of our way to show these traits, in some cases, it is just going to make us stick out. And not always in a good way, in the eyes of everyone else. It isn't always going to be what feels like the right thing to do, to be compassionate, to be kind, and to be humble, gentle, and patient. But it's what God calls us to do. Many times, if we as Christians do things that are in line with these traits, we might even be frowned upon or shunned due to the simple fact that they just aren't valued in the way that God tells us they should be. God continually says that Christians are called to be set apart, and we should take this to heart as we go about our lives. But when I was writing about this, I remembered an article I read a while back, and it reminded me of this particular story about two presidents. And I don't know if you know this, but typically when presidents leave office, they'll leave a note for the next one to come, and it's very public, and oftentimes the note contains some kind of advice or encouragement. It's very lighthearted, and I want to read you a little bit from an article about the note that Ronald Reagan left for George Bush. This is a quote from the article. It says, "The top note of the pad had been used by Reagan, who scrawled, 'Dear George, you'll have moments when you want to use this particular stationery. Well, go to it.' The pad, a type often seen in card shops, shows on every page a crowd of cartoon turkeys and offers printed advice at the top of each note. Don't let the turkeys get you down." When you're doing the right thing, sometimes you're going to stick out. By showing and practicing traits that are continuously undervalued, you will stick out. It is just going to be a part of life. From being Christians, we know that just because we call ourselves Christians, we're going to stick out. Remember, through all of this, don't let the turkeys get you down. Rest assured that even someone who is living a life in Christ is still going to have some turkeys along the way. Now, further on in the scripture, in verse 13, Paul offers a simple but challenging command, which the Bible seems to have a lot of. He says to bear with each other. Now, it sounds very simple. It's just four words, just bear with each other. But we know this is a challenge because it takes a little bit of forgiveness to bear with each other. And no matter how many times the Bible talks about it, or we hear that we need to do it, it doesn't make it easy. It doesn't make us forget the things that people have done to hurt us. It just doesn't. But that's not what forgiveness is about, of course. But this verse doesn't talk about forgiveness. It just says we need to bear with each other. And that just means we should hang with each other through the challenges that being in Christian community brings, because it does and it will bring challenges. Now, in these moments where it is hard to bear with each other, remember this verse, and remember that quote from Moby Dick, that we are all cracked about the head, and we are all in need of mending. None of us are any better than any others. There isn't some kind of counter or tally of your sins, and if you get the lowest number, then you and God are cool. If you get the highest number, then you and God are not cool. We are all born sinners, and God makes that very clear to us. It's just a part of being human, and there's no reason to beat ourselves up about it, but it's just part of being human. We are born sinners. We can never be perfect. The only perfect one is Jesus. We can also not erase sin from our lives, and none of us can, and even those that we revere as walking closely with God, the closest that you could possibly get to God, they still live a life in sin. One of our favorite Christian traditions in my household is to watch the midnight mass at St. Peter's Basilica. And I usually don't get through the whole thing because I'm tired. And I didn't get through the whole thing this time. But one of the things that happened that really struck me is Pope Francis stood up. And as part of the liturgy, he said, "I've sinned against you in thought and in deed." And I thought, man, if the Pope is getting up there talking about he is living a life in sin, then it's okay to live a life in sin. And everyone sins. But when you encounter those who you don't agree with, who you might argue with, you might butt heads with, remember that we are all only human, meaning that we are all sinners. But also remember that God loves you as much as he loves the person who you don't love, who you butt heads with. And just like Paul said, bear with each other. Now, at the end of the scripture, Paul tells us that whatever we do, we need to do it for Christ. Now, similarly to the one above, this is a simple command, but it's just not an easy one. Paul is calling us to honor Christ in all that we do. And while it might seem simple and easy, it just isn't. And Paul didn't simply say to honor Christ before every meal, or honor him on Sundays, or honor him when Dad makes us do the verse of the day. He said to do it in everything we do. And as a Christian community, we must remember that everything we do is for Christ. We don't do it for ourselves. But even tasks that seem really mundane are still ones that are for Christ. We do a lot of things in church that are fun and awesome, like carol sing-alongs and basketball, but some things, they're just not fun. And for those of you that serve on committees like SPR, trustees, or finance, your meetings might be long and filled with hard decisions that nobody wants to make. But these tasks are still necessary to forming our community and helping it function well. If we didn't have SPR, we wouldn't have any staff to run the church. If we didn't have trustees, we wouldn't have a roof. If we didn't have finance, no one would get paid. No one would show up here to preach most Sundays. And we obviously need all these things to function effectively. So even those mundane tasks, no matter how mundane they may seem, they're still for Christ. They still go to serve our Christian community. Another takeaway from Paul's command is that we shouldn't just let ourselves go through the motions when we worship. And you've all heard that before, but we go to a Methodist church. We're called Methodists, which, if you don't know, and the pastor can correct me if I'm wrong because I didn't go to seminary, but I believe that the term Methodist actually comes from an insult that was used against John Wesley and his friends when they started practicing faith in a very methodical and precise manner. People would look at them and say, "Look at those Methodists over there," hence the name. But we are a people of method, and that's not a bad thing, because when you repeat something, it allows you to connect with God every time you repeat that. It's a good thing. But it does mean that we need to be continually conscious of what we do and why we do it. We do it to worship God and to proclaim our love for Him. When we find ourselves doing it because we want to look good or for other reasons that are not for God, it's time to look to God. And I've spent a lot of time up here talking about what the right thing to do is, but at the end of the day, we all know it's not easy. If it was easy, God would say it in the Bible once, not 10, 15, and 20 times. And I wouldn't be up here talking about it. And we wouldn't have someone up here every Sunday talking about what the right thing to do is. It's not easy. But we are a forgiven people. And no matter what we do, no matter if we stray, God is going to leave the 99. For us, for you and for me. And another one of Paul's commands is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. When you do things like I just talked about, those things that can be challenging but are necessary, you are letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You are doing this not only by helping the church function effectively, but by showing God's love in all times and places, as He continually calls us to do. Now, as you all know, we just finished up the Christmas season, and Christmas is a time that's all about love. Christmas just feels like a time that people should come together and be with each other rather than being apart. Christmas movies such as Home Alone depict the Christmas season as a time to mend wounds previous. And while we spent all this time waiting for God's Son to be here, the truth is, that was the easy part. Now, we have to do the hard part and live like God wants us to live in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've done the easy part, now it's time to do the hard part. As you leave here, carry that spirit of Christmas on and do the work of Christ. Bear with each other. Don't let the turkeys get you down. And remember that all of us need mending, but there's only one place you can find it.
Brother Nick texted during during Ben's sermon. And I'll share with you what he actually asked me to share this with you. He said, "Tell Ben I would lose that vote every time." I was reminded in Ben's sermon of Archbishop Tutu, who passed away over the weekend. I was very blessed when I was a seminary student. to have a class with Archbishop Tutu, the Arch. And we had about, 20 hours, 21 hours with him hearing about his ministry. He really saw the overthrow of apartheid in South Africa as his ministry, his calling. And we joked with him. He said, he would say, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, and I only have one sermon. And that sermon has two points. And it is, first of all, God loves you. God loves you in a way that you cannot imagine. Loves you when you have gone completely astray. Loves you unconditionally. The second piece of that is that God loves your enemies that same way. Therefore, his second point is we are a human family. We are one family. We are all brothers and sisters. And because we wrong each other sometimes, the only way forward is through forgiveness. It's the only way. And so I'm thankful for Bishop Tutu and for his ministry and for his witness. I have two funny stories. I'll share one of them because one of them was bathroom related about Bishop Tutu. But that's a true story. I'll tell that one later. But the other one is we were in a small group. I got to spend an hour sitting beside Desmond Tutu talking about, actually we were talking about LGBTQ issues in the church even 20 years ago. And he told some joke. And he slapped me on the knee, and I have not washed that knee since. But anyway, he was our Yoda. He was our Yoda. He was fantastic. So blessings upon him and his family. Let's stand now for our hymn of commitment. There's a song in the air, number 249. Thank you so much for being here today. Merry Christmas once again. I hope you enjoy the rest of the Christmas season. And we will have worship next Sunday, both services, with Sunday school in between at 10 a.m. And we'll begin our revision series on the 9th. And I want to encourage you to be here for that. I want to close with a benediction from Archbishop Tutu. Hear these words. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours through Him who loves us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen.